This is where we discuss the difference between perfect football programs and ones that probably should be monitored for lack of performance. Like, like Cal, Cal's trying. They always try. They always do shit real hard. And they're a perfect football program because all of the most college football things happen to them, right? Like, be funny if you built your stadium on a fault line, right? Yeah. All right. It'd be funny if your team could never have a good offense and a good defense at the same time, right? You're like, yeah, hilarious. That's us.
It'd be funny if you have like five Pro Bowlers and no All-Americans.
We just need to be paid. That's it. We only respond to cash. Sweet Luca.
It'd be funny if you joined Boston College's conference.
Yeah, right? Like they're having everything college football. What, do you want sort of an absurd and potentially meaningless conference switch? Ding! Done. That's happened to you too.
Do you want to forevermore route all your sports travel through SMU? Yes.
That'd be great. Cal's natural rival, SMU. Yeah, this is everything that could happen college football-wise to a team is happening to Cal. Whereas Temple, I feel like, and this is not me, this is not slander, this is fact, there have been times in Temple's athletic history where they were like, we'll just take the check.
Yeah.
What you going to do with it? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. That's their identity. It's okay. Not everyone has to try hard. In fact, it seems to be going okay for them that they're not. They're still here.
The check's still clear, man. The checks,
such as they are,
clear. Such as, yeah, they might not be what they once were, nor will they ever be again. You know, but we don't really. I will write this at one point. I do want to celebrate Cal's entire history as a football program because they have had nothing but the funniest thing. Like, consider this: they not only are the most absurdist football program in the best and worst senses of the word, they have had the most nonsensical great games. Like, they had the one, right?
They find themselves in a lot of situations.
They're Ryan Gosling in any action vehicle, right?
Lots of falling and shrieking.
I don't think also, I can die.
Also, their defense looks like his most of the time.
They do. Their defense looks like that. If you looked at a football program and it said, I don't think I can die, it would probably be Cal.
The funniest thing about them is 100 years ago, they were awesome. And
yeah,
virtually nothing since. Like, yeah, there are a few little spikes about 15 years ago, but that's about it.
They have, you know, when you think of their greatest players, they're players with quirk, a certain amount of individuality, one might say, you know.
Sure.
You get Marshawn Lynch in there as you know, one of their greatest players. That to me is like, he is universal Cal. That's everything that Cal football is.
There's some coach names on this list for Cal. Ever since the highs of their national championship era a century ago, we have a Nibs Price, a Stub Allison, of course, mm-hmm. Pappy Waldorf. There's Marv Levy, random Marv Levy out of nowhere.
You could tell me anybody had coached Cal and like the San Diego Chargers, I would believe you. You know, you could be like, oh, you know, Steve Mariucci was the coach there. You'd be like, oh, kind of okay Niners and mediocre Lions coach. Sure, man. Sure. I believe that.
He was, in fact, at correct. Cal.
Correct.
Offensive coordinator, 1991.
Yeah. He was a Cal, and I'd be like, of course. You could tell me, you could be like, hey, did you know that once Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson was their defensive coordinator? I'd be like, sure.
Also, yeah. the mooch was, for some reason, it wasn't showing up on Sports Reference when I looked, but 1 year indeed as Cal's head coach, 6-6.
See?
Perfect Cal record.
And of course, and that's the other thing is that you have to go 6-6. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This
okay,
is
okay, but here's the thing about the Golden Bachelor.
The internet's only college football podcast. You were saying about the Golden Bachelor. I'm going to let you do it. If you want to run with it, you go right ahead.
No, seriously, we've exhausted everything I know about it.
A lot of people really enjoy the Golden Bachelor.
I'm in hell.
There are no reality shows that are based on a submarine that I can find. And
sucks.
I think that's a missed opportunity.
Sorry, you're getting Das Boot.
You're going to have to climb the torpedo tube now. No! They shoot you out of it.
What are we doing on today's episode?
I do want to mention how funny it is that Clay Travis's Outkick has attempted to cover women's sports and found itself not invited at all or allowed to enter the WNBA drafts coverage. I personally find that pretty funny that they're just too small to cover the WNBA.
I think it's woke to enforce a deadline that was very clearly laid out personally. Like, today is Tuesday, April 16th, and the WNBA won't let me cover the draft that's already happened. Why must the march of time be so biased against me, right-wing political commentator Ryan Nanny?
Ryan, you've asked the question, and you've provided yourself the answer. What is it clocks are there to do? Wake you up.
Oh, my God.
Damn. So,
to doubt.
Women's suffrage in the United States was, 1917? Is that what I'm seeing here?
I feel like that bunch would be a lot more in favor of women's suffrage in the United States, because that shit was racist as hell.
Well, I'm saying 1920 looks like. So, I think in Outkick's mind, it's 1919, when, you know, no women, regardless of race, are able to vote. Mm. So, having said that, if that's correct, then they were 105 years ahead of the deadline.
You know, just make up some concept like man time. I'm sorry. The masculine concept of time is different. It's discriminatory.
That's what MST actually stands for.
Like, everybody here, I assume, has applied for a credential for a sporting event.
Yeah, we're fucking bloggers. Of course we've been denied for credentials.
Right. And, like, you apply too late is one of the easiest ways to get shut down, right?
Here's the thing about applying for credentials. Nobody actually wants media at their event.
Sure.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. You want broadcast media. You don't want other media.
You don't actually want people to come to your event. If there is any excuse to keep additional people out of covering your event, especially at this level, they're going to do it. They don't want us there.
It's a little bit like a child's birthday party where you're like, I have to throw this and I have to put out invitations. But if I could put a you must RSVP by this point or you're not getting in on a child's without a fight. Sure, I would do that.
The velvet rope is up.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't apply for your credentials to the gymnastics birthday bash.
This is Anna Felder's seventh birthday waiting to happen.
No fucking way you're getting in this bounce house, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah. You got
the
little
house has a bouncer.
You got the fake earpiece in.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Pickles says you can't come in.
What if the red carpet walkway to get into the event is itself inflatable so the bouncer can jump up and literally bounce you off of it?
Yeah, like, that'd be sick.
Like, what is more likely, that you are being discriminated against for your political views because even though you applied late, or that somebody was like, one less person I have to worry about? Good fucking riddance. I would love to have less work to do. That's...
It could be many things at once. Like, it could be like, hey, you know the easy way to not have to deal with this fucking guy?
100%.
There's a fulcrum here. There is the stage of a sports league or event or team at which they need the media more than the media needs them. And that is when you get invites and, you know, you get the good coffee and, you know, everybody gets a tour and a souvenir lanyard and whatnot. The second that, and this is not a value judgment, this is how the world works. The second that fulcrum tilts towards the media needing to be there more than you needing the media coverage to draw an audience, buddy, they don't want you there.
What's fucked up?
And by you, I mean any of us.
What's fucked up, or maybe just silly upon reflection, is that this kind of works out for everybody involved. And it kind of makes me wonder if this wasn't intentional on the part of a certain party.
You have hit upon my theory. Yep.
Like, because now OutKick gets to be like, look at the women excluding us from their, look at the exclusion happening. Look at the silencing happening to freedom in America.
Like, none of it's sincere. Just, you know, fuck right. off.
Right. But
fuck
also,
off
and, fans
fuck
of,
off, send your kids to private school and then show up at public school meetings claiming about how their curriculum's woke. Fuck you. Fuck really, everything you stand for. Really you don't random. Give a shit. You need your ass kicked.
At
fuck
the same
off.
Time, though,
factoid to pull out of midair there, Spencer.
Fans of the WNBA get to be like, fuck yeah. Like, they didn't let OutKick show up. When it's entirely possible, it was just like, you applied late, and we don't let people who apply late who aren't, like, our TV partners. Like, show. So everybody kind of gets to, like, crow about the thing they want to crow about.
All right,
over what could entirely have been a, like, no, fucko, read your calendar right.
This is my current theory on this. Everybody wins. Besides, yeah. how was anyone supposed to know after the past 3 weeks or so when the WNBA draft might be taking place?
Like, do you think Clay Travis would rather talk about sports or rather talk about Clay Travis?
Oh God.
Because this is very clearly going in one direction.
Well,
this is my favorite school of media is the show that only talks about the show. Mm-hmm. I know I'm saying that, but it is my favorite. Like, hey, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about what we do. What we do here is so good. Like, I just love the community. I love everything this community does. Like, I love that. That's great. Hey, Ryan, how you feeling today? You living good? Ryan's so cool. That sounds like
hand in the dirt.
No. Hand in the dirt is I have found a point of minutia, and I have a very strong opinion about this. Like, somebody will be like, yeah, Bic pens are trash. And Felder would be like, I don't think that at all.
And the Hartzell's like, Bic pens will jump through the phone.
No, Hartzell's like, I wasn't paying attention. What happened?
No.
Yeah, what happened?
Okay. I was trying to put Hartzell over. Come on, man.
He's the Spencer.
In the wrestling world of Hand in the Dirt, I am Hartzell's forever beleaguered manager.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep him out of his own way.
Like, ultimately, I'm convinced that what people want out of, like, 50% of entertainment is to be told what they think and given a little bit of, like, community that affirms themselves. That's it. And I think there's a lot of, like, sports content that does that, right? Like, oh, you know, you feel good about the juice? Yeah, I like the juice. Yeah, you always like the juice. Like, I'm convinced.
Do you mean,
like,
O.J. Simpson? Are you talking about O.J. Simpson?
I'll be honest, I feel a little Heisman, bit better at it.
Did y'all see
right
the Heisman Trust express condolences to O.J.'s family?
Yeah. As a Heisman voter, I gotta say, yo!
Can y'all be a little more specific about what you mean by family? Which ones? Was there an asterisk by family?
Pardon?
I can't.
Okay?
Nope, can't.
I'm not even approaching this from the... I won't even take the Alex Kirshner flaming soapbox of if Reggie Bush died tomorrow, they wouldn't say a word.
That's true.
Which is
true.
But I'm not even there yet. I'm stuck all the way back on condolences to his family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All right. So you were talking about how the full cast is a shared community where everybody agrees O.J. Simpson is awesome, I think is what you were trying to argue. Yeah.
That's, you know what? That is, you know what, bro? That is on the Mount Rushmore.
We do need some more monuments that have multiple faces on them. Like, it can't just be Mount Rushmore. We need more things that we can say, like,
what if we blow up Mount Rushmore and put some good faces on it?
I have been for blowing up Mount Rushmore for years, and I know that the good men and women of the United States military stand behind me on this because they would want nothing more than to blow up Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm. Than to blow up anything. Because they like,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
how much fun that would be for them? Yeah. Because it probably, it's Colorado, it's not Colorado, it's the Mountain West, it'd probably be the Air Force, they'd never get to do anything fun.
Yeah, like, do you know how
psyched they
were? You
think those guys at NORAD get to do shit?
Yeah, do you know how psyched that dude in the F-22 was to register its first combat kill and blow up a balloon? Other people are like, LOL, F-22 is only blowing up a balloon. Do you know what that pilot's like? Yeah, I fucked that balloon up. Took that shit down. That's what I did. Do you know what they would say if you gave them Mount Rushmore?
I bought that balloon's mom a nice dinner and then didn't call her.
Applebee's, the official bar and grill of the NFL.
That's right. Ryan, are you picturing like more like grotesque menagerie type statues with like, oh my God, it's got faces coming out of its armpits and stuff. And then that could be the thing that we use to rank our favorite seven whatevers.
Mm. Yeah.
What about the wall of faces in that one Game of Thrones season?
Sure, yeah. Then great. You need like your top 200. That's a long episode. Mm.
Yeah, who do you put on your Mount Rushmore of faces?
Who's on your Easter Island?
Yeah.
Order of biggest head, well, we got to let Spencer go first there.
I take the skull throw to Billy Mays for 500.
So it looks like there are 1,043 Easter Island statues. So
okay.
Okay, so what happens?
Every current NFL player.
People pick Dale Earnhardt.
We got enough statues to go around.
All right.
Yeah.
I put this on Twitter today, but my baby brother, who's had the same job for 4 years because he works in the government, is like me in that he is ready to leave this job at any moment because he has seen some shit in his line of work. And after 4 years of work, he has taken so much ribbing from his colleagues about not having there's no plants in his office. It's a big deal for him to have like a fan on his desk. There's nothing on the walls. I can't even see a pen in this picture that he sent me. He was finally tired of it. He's like, all right, I'm going to put up a picture. And not hung on the wall, but leaning on a windowsill in one corner of his office where it can be easily grabbed at a moment's notice and taken away forever, is a framed 8x10 autographed photo of Dale Earnhardt.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're the kind of person who doesn't want to decorate an office because you don't want to have to pack it up one day, the answer is to decorate it with stuff that you will be fine walking away from at a moment's notice, and that the next person to get the office will have to be like, why did you have this thing here?
I've been at this game. I've had this moment at a game where I showed up to watch one football game, and then an entirely different game broke out. And my peak example of this was to go watch Lamar Jackson. Okay, a game that both Holly and I were at. That Lamar Jackson was supposed to have this grand sort of like crowning Heisman performance against the University of Houston. In the press box before the game, in an act of astonishing SID hubris, on the road, they were passing out little like Lamar Jackson propaganda. Holly, what were they? They were like, it wasn't like a comic book, but it was like little pamphlets.
Like a zine.
Yeah. You got like a Lamar Jackson zine. And it was supposed to be everything that all your little facts that you were going to take back and write in your column.
Would you like to talk about SID hubris, by the way? You want to talk about credentials? Do you know why we were there to see Lamar Jackson in Houston?
Why?
Because I think I was working at ESPN when I first tried to get credentialed at Louisville to come see Teddy Bridgewater. And I was told by their SID, who I think is still there today, you can come to Media Day.
Ah.
So we went to Houston. This was November of 2016. And instead of the Lamar Jackson fiesta that we were promised, we saw a great game. But what we saw was Ed Oliver's coming out party.
a brutal coming out party.
The reason we started talking about this is because we've been to a bunch of these.
Yeah, like
the first one that came to my mind was the Baylor-Oklahoma State game, where you were stuck outside in 20-degree driving wind.
Yeah, where people were buying turkey legs to hold them to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they could have, this was in 2013, and Baylor still had some, like, BCS aspirations, and they were, I think, at the time, like, fourth in the BCS. And
in the season, this was, like, our last chance. This is, for some reason, the last chance we could get to see Baylor in person. It wasn't at Baylor, so we went to Stillwater.
Yeah.
And then, this was, at which point, Oklahoma State sprang out of the bushes and was like, gotcha, bitch!
Yeah, Bryce Petty on Baylor's first drive of the game was a yard shy of pay dirt. Like, he was so close to scoring, and then he stumbled like on nothing. Just like Baylor was going to take the lead. They were going to go up, and Bryce Petty tripped on air and he fell. And two plays later, Shock Lidwood fumbles. And Oklahoma State gets the ball, and it is a rout from that point forward. Oklahoma State ended up beating them 49-17.
You know what? We've told a press box story about that Louisville game, too, before, just to make this whole story even messier. This is the game where it was me and then you. Sam Kahn was on your other side, and then on the other side of Sam Kahn was some beat writer from Louisville whose name I do not remember, and I'm sorry about that because he made everyone's night, because every time something was going wrong for Louisville, he would sit there and dictate out loud for the rest of us what Todd Grantham was about to do, and he was right every time. This is the one where he's like, you can see Grantham yell on the sideline, and this guy leans back in his seat and he's like, "Oh, here comes the A-gap blitz." And yep. Emotional blitz.
Emotional blitz.
I'm really sorry. I don't remember who this was, but sir, you're a prophet.
No, the emotional blitz was not a joke. This was a guy who could call Todd Grantham's plays by the book. Like, and if Houston gained like a yard, it would be like, "Oh yeah, hold on. Here comes the double A gap." And they would come double A gap, and Houston would just like throw over the middle, or they would throw a screen, or they would run a draw away from it. Yeah. It was.
And he didn't, he wasn't excited. He wasn't like he was narrating. It was, he sounded so tired. It was the carriage of a man who has to deal with Todd Grantham on a weekly basis at work.
100%.
I hope he's thriving wherever he is. now that Todd Grantham doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah. But I feel like I've been to an inordinate number of those. Like, no, not just upsets, but games where, like, you showed up and you go, "Hi, I have this job."
Games are like the whole capital N narrative flipped, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, games that came in predetermined, not can just I don't know.
Can I give you an example and you tell me? I'm trying to think of other ones that I've been to. Those are definitely the top two, but the Bama-Notre Dame title game comes to mind.
I'm having a hard time remembering, because, all right, how's this? That game was such a complete ass kicking that the only thing I remember is the tweet that Jason frequently shares, which is Steve Bannon like tweeting out, "Wake up the echoes!
Call down the thunder!
Call down the thunder!"
See, I remember you tweeting, "Bury him deep and pat the dirt, Nick." Second quarter.
Is the idea that it's not just a surprise, not just an upset, but both teams are appearing as if they are other teams entirely?
Mm-hmm. Yes, or otherwise shocked. See, a number of appearances by Kansas State in the Big 12 title game over the years, where the other team goes in and goes, "Yeah, we're here to finish up a perfect season. This is just going to be a layup. We're on the, oh, fuck!" And like Kansas State ends up beating them like 36-28. Like, that happened to that, and not to pick on them, but you know, that has happened to TCU as well, but that's happened to Oklahoma. There was the Darren Sproles classic.
This is basically the entirety of the Tennessee Florida rivalry for most of the aughts.
Yeah, with the team sometimes changing positions. Yeah.
Gaffney, hello.
Jabbar Gaffney, baby.
Let's see. We were both at the Gaffney game. We were both at the Rain game.
Yeah.
Are we harbingers? Are you a silver surfer?
It's either a silver surfer or the cursed albatross that somebody kills. And
the implication is the silver surfer can swim. So no.
Ah, never mind. He's not called the silver swimmer.
How's he get on the surfboard then?
The surfboard is in space. It's not on water.
Are you telling me the silver surfer can't surf?
Oh, I've never seen it. All I see is him flying through space.
See, irony is a literary device, Ryan. The irony is that the Silver Surfer can't surf.
I just got so tired. We've never seen him.
Surfing the World Wide Web.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Another instance of this, and this goes back quite a ways, but going back to the 2008 Clemson-Alabama game. Yes, yes. Another.
What the fuck, another man?
I'm sorry. You know what? You should thank
you. Why would you bring this up now?
You should thank Nick Saban for this. You should. Oh, it led.
Okay.
It led to nothing but good things for Clemson.
I guess I could thank Nick Saban, but I mean, you really got to thank Jim Grobe at Wake Forest.
Man,
because it was just about the fact that he used to just kick Tommy Bowden's ass all
Let's
the fucking time.
Remember some guys. You guys remember Grobe Mentum?
I remember when Jim Grobe, like Baylor was so desperate that they were like, Jim Grobe was like, I want a boat. Will you guys just pay me to come in and take care of your fucked up program for a minute? And they were like, yeah, go ahead. Sure. I'll be your coach for like 8 games. He came in as a temp.
Worked. Man, I thought I had this down to a post, but it actually turns out we had a Tommy Bowden got a bitch mentality tag.
The 2008 game is when they'd gotten CJ Spiller and Clemson was like, okay, this is the year. They're going to fix
my moment.
Yeah, we're going to fix this shit. Clemson's this finally going to.
It was the year following the all-time CJ Spiller highlight of him in all purple against Georgia Tech making that stupid juke move and then like being the fastest human that existed besides Jacoby Ford, who was also on his team.
Correct.
Jim Grobe appears to be one of two coaches in Wake Forest history who's beaten Clemson 3 times. The other was P-Head Walker in the 40s. P-Head Walker at one point beat Clemson 6 straight years from 1943 until 1947. That doesn't math right. Did they
top search result for P. Head Walker's name that is not Wikipedia? Wake Forest's greatest football coach was a con artist.
You hear that, South Carolina? Get on Wake Forest level. That's what I take away from that. Can't do what Wake does.
What was P. Head's con? I must know.
P. Head.
Well, let's
Walker
see. According to the North Carolina rabbithole.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy Markovich. Shouts out to friend of the program, Jeremy Markovich.
He lied a lot.
Sometimes he bribed his players.
That's the summary.
Yo Deeks.
A known smoker, drinker, and cusser who was also rumored to enjoy the company of women who are not his lawfully wedded wife, according to Mitchell, whose book entitled P-Head is worth reading in full. That put him at odds with the Baptists who ran Wake Forest at the time. Injuries didn't register as important to him.
Can't believe there's not a white whiskey named after him.
There's a lot more.
He seems like he should have like a distillery and a converted t-shirt warehouse named after him at this point.
He also supposedly, so he was trying to get a highly prized recruit from Pennsylvania and he picked him. This was back in the days of train travel being predominant. So this guy named Bill George, who was 6'4".
Bill George.
What was his last name? Tim? According to this, he picked him up at the Raleigh train station, drove him to Duke University, and drove by the stadium and was like, someday you will play here. And George was fucking sold. Then George got to Wake and was like, where are all the pretty buildings? And apparently he and Walker told him they're on the West Campus. That's for upperclassmen. This is East Campus.
This is the gotcha bitch episode.
A couple years. It appears he was also a pro baseball player during his football coaching career, as well as a basketball coach and a baseball coach. Mm-hmm. This man had 4 jobs at once.
Yeah. Hey, beat Clemson 6 times in a row.
He also bribed his team to play in the 1946 Gator Bowl. They didn't want to go. They took a team vote. And he paid them to play.
This is great.
Yeah.
Everything I learn about this man only makes me admire him more.
Wake needs to get back to this tradition.
Mm. Oh, the
got money.
Oh, and Cerber, do you know who Wake Forest beat in the Gator Bowl that they had to bribe the players to go in?
Who was that?
South Carolina, baby.
Fucking Yep, that's right.
Dave Clawson kind of looks like he's like stuck in time.
Also, the con artist in Jeremy's headline comes from the Birmingham News Herald's obituary of P-Head. Old P-Head was a real con artist.
Old P-Head ain't a real con artist.
Do you know how much of a con artist he has to be for that to lead your up bit? Fucking Heisman Press is out here offering condolences.
All OJ was a real running back.
You gotta hand it to him. The ball, that is.
Old P-Head.
Oh, listen. Old P-Head. Old P-Head obviously needs greater consideration in terms of being a historically important presence in college football. Because, goddamn.
Like, is he our butterfly effect originator? Is he our key maker?
Could we, like, just decide that college head coaches, once they've hit a certain number of years, they get a stupid old-timey name? Like Dabo, you're good. You're good, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have
Jimbo,
yours.
Jimbo, check.
Mm-hmm. Go on, Major Applewhite. Okay, yes. You're, you're clear.
Lane,
maybe you're in. But all the rest of you
fellas. As long as they're going to keep rhyming that shit with train, he's good.
Garlic Bulb Ference. That's his name.
Point of order. Mac?
Oh, yeah.
Mike Gundy, you're now Lumpy Gundy.
No, I got Mac. You ready? Here we go.
Fiddle legs.
Old Sweet Pickles Brown.
Yeah, there you go. You got to either take something. Okay, I think it's the game. You take something you could buy at a Cracker Barrel, or you take something that you find on the wall at a Cracker Barrel, and you combine that with a body part.
Sure.
It's old Tin Pan Sternum Chiswick.
Cracker Barrel store. Old gift certificate feet Whittingham.
Hey, man, I wouldn't dare give Kyle Whittingham a nickname. My God, do you know how that? Can we talk for a second about? First of all, I'm in a good mood about Kyle's because Kyle's are wrecking shit in the Charity Bowl this week. But can you imagine what kind of fortitude it has to have taken? We all know we don't want to fight that man, but Kyle Whittingham grew to this level of stature and strength while being named Kyle his entire ass life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there was a time when being Kyle was, I think, pretty sweet.
What?
Yeah, like
1990.
I think probably being Kyle in the 70s and into the 80s was probably a pretty fucking awesome deal.
I don't know, man. There's just something about, this is probably colored by that one Publix experience I had, but there's just something about the name that sounds like a hex. Kyle.
I mean, he was born in the 50s. This was a cutting edge name at the time.
Yeah. It felt different.
He's a Blakeland. Is he like a mid-century Braden?
Maybe.
Yeah, he is. Kyle was the mid-century
Braden.
But
that kind of proves my point. This is a name that takes some living up to, right?
Isn't Kyle the name of the soldier who impregnates Sarah Connor in the Terminator?
Wow.
Kyle Reese, yes.
Yes, so in other words, I think we've established the peak of Kyle is like 1984.
Okay, that's fair. When, I have to accept
that's
that.
That's when being a Kyle peaked. You saved the world. You saved the world with your dick. Congratulations, Kyle.
Thank you, sir, for your service.
Yeah.
Even though she did all the work.
Mm-hmm. He did enough, brother.
He did enough work. All right.
Kyle gave some, and some gave Kyle.
That's true. Kyle gave just enough.
Mm-hmm. That's it. The Terminators have to go back in time. You have to destroy this man's dick.
Yes.
Forget Sarah. You got to take out Kyle's Jimmy.
Old Thunderlip Stoops.
Oh! Which one is that, though?
Well, there's only one who's currently a head coach.
God, I hear you. It just feels much more Bob.
Thanks. So. Well, if he wants his title back, he can come back and coach.
We got to name Mark Stoops something out of Donkey Kong Country. Old Minecart Mike Stoops. Mm-hmm. Mark Stoops.
That's good. That's really good.
That is good. Old Mike. Minecart Mike.
Minecart Stoops.
Let's see. Troy Calhoun has been coaching since 2007. I think he qualifies for nickname.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna call him Troy
Spittleheart. No, that's too dragon-esque.
I was gonna call him Troy Big Country Calhoun.
Big Country's already used.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
medium country Calhoun.
Yes, that's good.
Medium Calhoun.
Medium Calhoun.
Medium country Calhoun.
You know those Air Force polo shirts That's a beautiful fit, unlike those Air Force polo shirts.
Did you know there are only 5 FBS head coaching tenures that are older than this podcast?
Oh, my God.
And we have named all of them already.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna give
We gotta do that like Liza Minnelli outlives, but for the full cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll never outlive Ference, but
I'm gonna call him Jeff City Money Munkin.
So just lose the Jeff then. City Money Munkin. Mm-hmm. And the city is
City
West,
Money Munkin.
The city is West Point.
That looks like that has Michael Jackson cook. City Money Munkin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, are you saying cinnamony monkey? I don't understand.
Yes, cinnamon monkey.
Cinema monkey.
I love this game.
Jeff Daddy Rich Monkey.
Daddy Rich?
Whoa.
Yeah.
You only get one. You only get one of these names.
None of them are sticking. We're giving him like 5. Remember, if you have 5 nicknames, you don't have any.
Jeff. Oh.
Oh, so he's just Jeff.
No, what if we throw a... He's got a 1-syllable first name, so what if we give him a the in the middle... Like Jeff, the Anvil Munkin.
The Anvil.
I'm just calling him Anvil Munkin then.
Mm. Yeah.
I want is on the sports reference page, just nickname as if it was a birth name.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a rare bird of the area. Like give them a water. They can also be a waterfowl.
Old Wallaby Clawson.
For Dave Doran, I want to go super old school. You know, like dudes used to be named like J.B.
Doran.
Yeah, or like J.B. Ears Whitworth is an example, you know?
Hmm. Shit, I can't believe we already used Cinnamon Teal.
Dave the Mule Doran.
Mule Doran. Like
yeah.
There's more there.
No, man. There's a joke there that you're abandoning immediately that you need to go back to because mules kick. Hmm.
That's right.
And Dave Doran, as we all know, is a puncher.
On the CW, you come around, you're going to encounter a scrappy, ornery son of a gun. That sounds like Mule Doran to me.
Genuine out-of-character question. Has it been announced / are we aware of what football content the CW might have for us next year? Are they continuing on with all of the league shuffling that's going?
I think they're expanding, right?
Like was that a 1-year I really don't know, or if I did I've forgotten. Is that a 1-year treat or do we get more of it?
Because
we have been promised polo shirts by those people.
The latest I saw was that the Pac-12 Tribulation Force, Oregon State and Washington State are possibly becoming CW teams.
Yes.
And I would love nothing more.
This is a really interesting comeback because in the days before the ascendancy of the Big Ten Network, when I first moved to California, and you would go to ABC at 9 and try to watch a Big Ten game that was taking place on the East Coast, as often as not, for no apparent with no apparent pattern to it, the ABC affiliate at noon might be showing The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody instead of football.
We get to watch Cal football on the CW. This is an entirely new level of college football.
So the ACC network has ended up with Cal and Stanford via no influence of their own.
Yeah.
Not because they don't have the power, just because they're more like the watcher. They don't meddle and interfere. So they have Cal and Stanford, and they have Oregon State and Washington State. Quite a collection for the East Coast network.
I can't wait. I haven't really sort of even thought forward to the 2024 season. I just got excited about it. The idea of Cal versus Wake Forest on the CW.
I feel like Dion's various nicknames already work. Like, I don't know about Neon because
there's
going
something about
old-timey.
Neon that invokes 80s though. Like, I hear Neon and I think like bar signs.
What about Argon?
We're gonna go like 1880s. I think if you go Prime, just Prime Sanders.
What about you give him a dance like two step Sanders?
Okay, yeah, we could play into
it's kind of Western.
How about Brett?
Ooh,
yeah, yeah. How about Brett?
I want to I want to go back and revise my Dave Dorn nickname and change him to Dave Square Dancing Doran.
So Square Dance Doran.
Square Dance Doran.
Yeah. How about Hammerhead Balama?
Hammer everything.
Hammerhead's pretty good. Yeah. Mm.
Hammer Bottom.
Hammer Thor.
Old Hammer.
Hammer Thorax Balama.
Old Hammer and Ass Balama. Well. Well.
I was going to say Hammer Pants, but that's a different thing, and now we're back to no, Dion that's
good.
Somehow.
That's good. I like it. Hammer Pants Vilima. That's it. That's the one for me. When did he was in college around that time, right?
Yeah.
You know he wore them. You know that man can dance in a way. In college in 1992. That's right. Yep.
Hmm. Yep. That means that at one point, Brett Bielema has undoubtedly, if it was 92, that man has undoubtedly danced to EU's DeButt. That's
this
happened.
He
probably done
Brett.
That in the last month.
He calls it DeBrett. Yeah, he's like, this song is about me.
Bielema so was out there before DeBrett. Games muttering to himself, please, Brett, don't hurt him.
They look, God, now I'm picturing him as the, he's, hmm. Not the first time, really, that I pictured him as the rock monster from the NeverEnding Story, being like, they look like nice, strong hands. Before he's devoured by the nothing.
How about Greg Schiano?
Silver Spoon Schiano. I feel like, I'm glad that we're clearly on the same page that some alliteration is called for here.
I'm feeling something judicial, something, you know.
The senator?
Maybe. I like Greg the Judge. Greg the Judge Schiano.
So just Judge Schiano. No Greg. Yeah. There's no Greg anymore.
Yeah. The Judge. Judge Schiano.
Judge Schiano.
Be like, was he ever a judge? Nah.
That feels very Jersey to me, though. They're like, he got elected.
Decide who is and is not a judge.
That's true. Only God can make a judge.
Who are you to judge?
Yeah, only God can be judge. Yeah.
Elijah Drinkwitz might be on the list of you're already good.
Also, he's way too annoying to live to an old age. Somebody's going to get him.
Yeah. If you got to give him a nickname, by the way, Quicklime.
He will be Quicklime.
Quicklime Drinkwitz.
Yeah.
Quicklime, named after what his peers are going to pour over him after they bury him in a shallow grave for running his goddamn mouth one too many times. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about other coaches.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly feels like there's a lot to work with there.
Oh. Jesus. I almost said Killer Kelly.
Brian the Super Kelly. Because really, what conjures the Brian Kelly experience more up than an angry superintendent who doesn't want to fix your toilet?
How about
but has
Brian
to?
The Soup Kelly?
Yep.
Landlord Kelly?
Brian Kelly to me needs some sort of like Dick Tracy nickname.
Yeah. Like it, Dick you need. Tracy. What's one? What's
Dick
a
Kelly?
Like Marbles Kelly, if that was no, his like, name.
Marble very, Mouth Kelly.
Yeah.
But what's a very pithy? What's a very pithy phrase that is like this guy has definitely burned down multiple orphanages?
Smuckle
matches Kelly matches.
I'm not saying it makes sense, but Brian Smuckles.
That motherfucker's a Smuckles if I've ever seen one.
Look at old Smuckles!
There. With his Smuckles ass.
I'm afraid that one's going to stick.
Old Steve Bobber Kelly.
Man, week Jesus. One, I'm pointing at the screen and I'm saying, holy shit, it's Smuckles.
You see what Smuckles dialed
Wait,
up there?
What if we went the tiny route and we called him, like, Snuggles?
Smuckles is too good at this point, honestly. No,
come on!
I think I fucked up and ended it. Sorry.
Like, I don't even care about any of the other nicknames we've generated. Only Smuckles Kelly.
Smuckles. See, like, the point of this exercise was to get to one that we feel passionate enough to remember tomorrow.
And Smuckles is it.
With a name like...
You're like, damn, Smuckles is all kind of heated over there.
Is he Smuckles Kelly or is he just Smuckles?
Oh, my God, we finally named the color... of his face.
This motherfucker's a Pokemon now.
He is. His Mega Smuckles.
Smuckles EX.
Of a big old baby.
Smuckles is evolving. No, he's not.
Look at that man when he's purple and blaming an 18-year-old for his problems. That's, yeah. That's
Smuckles tried moving his best player away from the ball. It's not very effective.
Oh, And there's like a three. There's three women leaning into a silver mic hanging from a cable in the background. That's Smuckles.
Smuckles.
God,
look at you.
It has a real like. It has a real like dollar store Heathcliff kind of quality. Like a scampy cat.
Brian Kelly.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You've said dollar store Heathcliff, and now we have to name a Mungo.
Maybe that can be someone else though. This one sticks. This is
no, that's somebody else. But we need to bestow. I feel like there always needs to be like a Mungo and a Gus in the rotation.
Well, we have a Gus. Already.
No, but like a different one. We need a different one. Like Gus, I don't feel like Gus's name really fits him. He does not look or act like a Gus. He's not jolly or Italian.
Hmm.
So now I want to find
Gusciano then.
Mm.
Let's see. Gus-y. Josh Heupel, can he be our Mermel then if we're going with cartoon cats?
Somebody has to have the nickname Sack Lunch. I don't know who it is. Somebody's got to be nicknamed Sack Lunch.
Wait, hang on. Hang on. Because this is alliteration too.
Sack Lunch, Sarkeesian.
Shane Beamer? Sack Lunch Shane Beamer?
How about because he might have to be packing his own lunch very soon if Alex Kirshner succeeds in fighting him. Sack Lunch Silverfield.
Yeah, wow. he's got to be on the move.
Alex will get you one of these days.
He'll be encountered by Alex Kirshner, Killer Kirshner, I believe.
Somebody devoting...
Oh, y'all, I've got it.
Smuckles.
Mungo Jim... Mungo Jim McElwain.
Yeah. All right, that's canon.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's better than his old.
That's better than anything else we would associate with you, you shark fucking freak.
Shark fucker.
It's an offense to my family that you've named me Mungo.
Oh, you want to go back to the old one, sir? No, Mungo's fine.
This is great. We can do anything. We can basically do anything to Jim now because he's like, stop that. And we're like, okay, we'll go back to the old way. He's like,
think about going back to the old me when I fought sharks.
Oh, Lord, like, it's got to go back to the old me. And
oh, Lord, I'm relapsing.
It's McElwain with a gun on his naked hip, humping that poor shark.
I need to go World War I style for this one. I'm just going to call, that's it, the Houston Cougars' own head coach, Willie the Kaiser Fritz.
It's Kaiser Fritz.
Mm. Oh, we need a Generalissimo.
Wow.
Who's the least likely Generalissimo? Rhett Lashley?
So like the least Italian?
I was just thinking like the least likely global South dictator.
Let's see.
Clay Helton, Generalissimo Helton?
Pete Limbo.
Thank you, Pete.
Back in the game.
Pete, who listens to this program.
Pete, we've does. Given you an incredible... a really cool military
hat. Generalissimo of Buffalo.
A chest full of military medals.
He's going to like that.
I don't know
all
why
the
he
medals
should have
pictures of his cats on them.
Mm-hmm.
And a cigar.
Yeah.
Pete Limbo is a real life cat daddy. Some of you might not know this.
I'm going to go on feel alone here and just say that it should be Sharon Big Waffles Moore.
Yeah.
You're this also sounds like an entire
breakfast to deal with those boosters.
This sounds like an entire order you're placing. Big waffles. How many? More.
More. Right.
I think we already said this, but Willie Fritz is good as Red, right? There's no improving that.
Yeah, Willie. I can't go with the Kaiser. So yeah, Willie Fritz is there. I'm going to go with this. Jed the Dr. Fish.
So the just fish maybe just Doc Fish.
Not Doctor. The fish doctor. That's different.
Doc Fish, I can get closer with. Dr. Fish feels a little
he feel like he should perform like procedures I'm not totally confident in.
Or it's like 37th Wu-Tang member or something.
Now, what if it's like Jed Fish DDS?
The dent. No, but we might have to save the dentist for somebody else. Because I feel like
is anybody left in active coaching who we're scared enough to name the dentist? Because I can't think of anyone.
Can we go Dentist Dickert?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could make up somebody to be afraid of.
How about Clark the Dentist Lee?
I'm not afraid of him. No, but the dentist carries like a sinister air to it that Clark Lee cannot match. Hmm. Like I would put that on Whittingham, and that's
Dentist Venables.
He does that, not look
okay,
like
that's the, appropriate whole, for a different reason.
His whole face is teeth.
But that's like, that's like Turkish veneers, though. That doesn't feel very American.
I think Ricky Ronnie is fine.
Ooh, wait. Vittles Venables.
Hold on. Let me say it in the old prospector voice. Vittles Venables. Okay.
Yeah. Really, we need to go back to Cookie and run all these by Cookie at the camp.
And the good, get him his good cup and he'll do it.
Who's gonna be Cookie out of this bunch? I nominate Jeff Traylor. Cookie Traylor.
Jeff Cookie Traylor. Hmm. Yeah.
I feel like we haven't done Kirby.
Kirby's name.
Kirby kind of works as is, though, is the problem.
It's associated with so much jollity via his cartoon form.
That's the funny part.
Mm. Yeah. If you told Kirby Smart you can have like laser powers, you just have to swallow somebody who had, like, he would do that. That's how ruthless a recruiter he is. If the actual powers of Kirby were real, he would adopt them 100%.
Do you think Kirby on the recruiting trail has entered the first part of a sentence and tried to anticipate the demand at the end of it incorrectly? Like, has, you know, well, coach, if you want me to go to Georgia, you, and then like Kirby's like stripping off naked in the like living
room.
Yeah,
because that's like, big give yourself a nickname energy. And I kind of feel like he's tried to give himself many nicknames over the course of his life that have not stuck. Like, if you want to know, because he would have been right of this. He's in that Top Gun 1 generation. There's 1,000% chance Kirby Smart insisted that everybody around him call him Iceman.
I'm Ghost Rider.
Call me Magic Man.
Which, no, shit, it can't be Iceman because I keep forgetting Casey Clawson did that in real life.
I'm Dr. Kirby. Strange. Oh. Call me that.
So it looks like here's an ESPN article that says at one point they called him Smart the Dart.
That's terrible.
No.
No, yeah. They didn't. Oh, yeah, they didn't call him that.
You know who
that's all I see.
You know who is built like a Dick Tracy villain that we have not yet nicknamed? Barry Odom.
That's true.
And Barry, and the Barry Undertaker Odom. I was trying to go with a Barry, except is Undertaker too evocative of other things?
I think that it's too taken at this point.
Yeah. Everybody enjoy our production meeting.
I would go with I think Kirby and Will both need nicknames, so it'd be Kirby. It'd be like Kirby the Breeze. Kirby the Breeze Smart.
Breeze and Moon Dance.
There we go.
We also need to grab up every coach who's named Joe and convert them into a Joey something. Like, we need like Joey Bananas Moorhead.
Yeah. Joey Pants.
Yeah. Jim the Nose Mora.
I have a very difficult one to throw at you, which is this. And I say this because we were talking about men.
Is it Bronco Mendenhall?
No.
He's good.
No.
Thinking about that one. Okay.
James Franklin.
I don't think I can come up with something mean enough.
I think I want to call him, for some reason, I want to call him Dollar Bill. Jimmy Dollar Bill Franklin.
Jimmy Dollar.
No, it's got to be, it has to be some, how about TikTok?
Yeah.
TikTok Franklin.
That works on a few levels.
I'm trying to come up with something to do with time.
Wolfman is so nonsense.
That's kind of... It's either got to be completely like, ironic.
It doesn't fit the school. He's not particularly hairy. That's what makes it really good.
Exactly. That's what drew to me. Yeah. His head is smooth. His head is smooth like the moon. So just imagine the opposite.
That's why he's so jittery at the end of night games. The wolves are coming.
It's happening.
The change. The change is coming.
We gotta get the fuck out of here. No, I'm not calling a timeout.
I'll transform from 10-0 to 10-2 before you know it.
Call the scientists, tell them it happened again.
In terms of actual practical use, I want to anticipate all of us are watching Penn State, Ohio State, which is ground to a 19-15 yeah, halt.
But if you're telling
sometime
me,
late
if
in the fourth quarter, go with me,
Gus
Ryan.
Gus Johnson gets me like, and there's Franklin. Yeah.
And there he is.
And when he does that, and it's 19-15, and for some reason, as the 15, James Franklin takes a delay a game and an intentional like safety in his own end zone, okay, with no timeouts left. At that point, If one of us calls the other and goes,
you're gonna lose your shit. He's a bad wolf.
He's a bad wolf man.
Bad dog.
Wolf man tricks.
Why do you?
He's burned all his timeouts.
Why do you think they put Happy Valley where it's so hard to get to?
Mm-hmm. Mess with the wolf, you get the fangs.
A wolf don't call timeouts.
James, that's a poor pelt.
Ooh, it's the fourth quarter. The change is coming over him.
Here he comes, the leader of the pack.
Wolfman and Smuckles are the only two I'm going to remember.
That's fine. Listen, all we needed those two.
It's Wolfman. It's Smuckles next on Fox.
Man, can you imagine the Penn State LSU Outback Bowl next year if we get it?
It'll be a playoff game, buddy. It's going to be a first round playoff game.
You guys know where Penn State opens this year, right?
No.
Virginia.
Oh, okay. Wolfman in the mountains.
I mean, there's some real Wolfman out there, so he'll
fit. There's right some in wolves rolling in them fog.
Wolfman v. Mothman.
Drew Aller's averaging Drew Aller's averaging 340 yards passing a game. It's time to run the ball 52 times.
Server's sobbing right now. We've killed him.
Oh, what's our record going to be? 10-2. Guess the two.
10-2.
Penn State. Always dangerous. In a night game. When everyone knows they're on the verge of being eaten.
That's why he doesn't look in mirrors. He would see the moon in the mirror.
That's
on the top
not
of his
that
head.
Animal.
I think I got to side with Spencer on this one.
That's not that animal.
We are now wolves.
Welcome to Beaver Stadium, home of the Wolf Man.
Hey, James, what's your favorite bowl? Is it the Mayo?
Hey, listen. What is a contract extension if not a form of a curse delivered over time,
sir?
And in phases? Mm-hmm, yeah.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You've launched me into a okay. I have a new hypo idea.
Mm-hmm.
He's so mild mannered. He needs one of those like universal classic monsters names, like The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Now everything's
Josh the Mummy's
now.
Curse. Hypel.
I think Gus' voice really enables us to decide. Here we go. Let me try it. Smuckles Kelly.
Okay, wait. Isn't it? We brought this up very briefly, but I want to rule on it here. Is that a mononym? Because I think it could work as one.
Just Smuckles?
Is it just Smuckles?
I think it'll work either way. But well, you know what? Let's test drive it. Let's just see.
I hear Smuckles, and instead of Kelly, I want to say the clown.
And here it comes, leading the LSU Tigers onto the field. None other than
Smuckles.
Yeah,
ooh, it is better as
that's actually really hard to do. That's actually really hard to do in that intro voice because you can't draw out the first syllable. It's just a hiss. Right?
Smuckles.
There you go.
Smuckles.
Everybody throwing just sealed jars of jam at his head.
He loves it.
He survives on fruit pectin.
It gives him powers.
Only then can he battle the wolf man.
Should the cops stop them from throwing those? This is Louisiana. It's Napoleonic law. You can throw jars at people.
Ha ha!
Gus Johnson covers the mic. Who smuggles? I'm just saying words.
Why just, was I told to say these words?
I'm just fucking saying words.
Don't put down the gun.
Joel Klatt just doing calm commentary.
Joel Klatt just no selling all of it. Continue.
Joel Klatt just limbs scattering left and right as Smuggles takes the field.
Well, Joel Klatt really does.
An exciting day here in Penn State.
He does some of the most. He does
later,
some of the most constant.
You know, and oh, and that is a. Just an enormous amount of blood later on ABC this evening at 8:30.
He does the most concentrated analysis because he receives no interruption from any of it, right? It's just Joel out there being like, they got a 3x1 set. That places a lot of stress on the safety here.
Ooh,
do I stop?
Smuggles.
Do I stop? I can keep going. Yeah. Right, you are, Joel.
We got to do some business.
We do. Bowl business.
Podcast business. What's the business?
Podcast business.
Some business. We're raising some funds and some cashing some money. Yeah, the wolf fans here at Smuckles also here.
We're not raised by wolves. We're raising wolves.
And not, no more raising canes. We're raising wolves over here.
Yeah. He's with
gonna,
the sauce.
He's going to go 7-5.
Yeah. It's got just Gus Johnson randomly chiming in with the sauce for no reason.
The wolf sauce.
The wolf
sweating
sauce.
No, I don't really want to talk about anything else but this, even though I know we have to talk about other things. Nope. This is all
it's
I want to talk
time.
About.
It is business time. It is 100% business time because it is the week of the EDS. BS Charity Bowl, the Charitabundi Bowl. We are raising money for New American Pathways. We are, by the time you hear this, in the middle. We will be in the middle eight, if you will, of this particular football game. A crucial period. If you are within the sound of my voice, you are going to go to your computer. Ooh, or your phone. Ooh. The Wolfman compels you.
Oh, my God.
And you.
No. We've raised $27,000 since we started recording the show.
That's right. And we're going to raise another $27,000 right now.
The Wolfman doesn't compel any. What is this? God damn it. We have this great character.
No, you know he doesn't watch movies.
Brian, you do not know Wolfman lore.
The Wolfman is not focused enough to compel. The Wolfman can't even compel himself to do anything.
This
one is.
He's a creature of pure animal lust.
You're thinking of Wolfman. This is.
And bottomless charity, Ryan. And bottomless charity, which is why the Wolfman is going to rip your fucking throat out.
Hands up.
You don't.
Pants off for the charity bowl.
You know,
if you don't donate right now.
The Wolfman is a divisive creature.
To the charity bowl. Is what you fucking need to do.
Penn State is wrecking shop, by the way.
They are.
Of course they are.
They are not a historical power. At the end of our first day, they were in second place to Michigan. Now, the bad news is they're behind Michigan by $140,000. The good news is they're ahead of third place Georgia by $30,000. Penn State, not a historical power in the Charity Bowl, but a couple years ago, like, we finally got a generation of Thon kids who listened to the show, and they have harnessed that energy and gone buck wild.
I'm not saying it will happen, and I don't think it will, but there is one person who could bridge that gap, who we know has the money to bridge that gap.
No,
it's the Wolfman, James Franklin!
James Franklin, if you're listening to this, pick yourself and your naked form off the forest floor where you found yourself this morning.
What did you do?
Rejoin.
There's corpses all around you, and you've donated $300,000 to the EDSBS Charity Bowl.
What's that under your nails? It's generosity.
You're going to feed anyway. You might as well contribute to charity at the same time, Wolfman.
Where'd all his money go?
Wolves don't have pockets. Give us all your money.
Yes. You can't carry it anyway. Like, mitigate your curse. Serve humanity, not as a dish, but as a donor for a worthy cause. Wow.
That actually could still be really sinister, depending on the read.
It really could.
James Franklin, give us your organs.
Of money.
Yes, our initial goal was $500,000, but the Wolfman and others have helped us.
By the time you hear this tomorrow, we may be blown past that at this rate. It is... Wednesday at 3:30, and we are at 428,000. What is wrong with you people?
Tuesday, 3:30. Oh.
Jesus yes. Christ. See, do you know, see, that's why.
Yeah.
Just to put things in perspective, we were really excited yesterday morning because we might hit 100,000 by lunch, which would have been a record. And then we went over 300,000 last night. Oh, you guys, this is incredible.
But yes.
And I don't know if you're, I don't know if you guys are following the news, but there's a shit ton of displaced people. And there's about to be a lot more. So yes. help us help them. Let's create some new neighbors. And they might become Georgia Tech fans, true, but we have to take that risk.
Or that opportunity. Yes, donate if you will. It will be going on through the end of the week. Mm. And as always, yes, counting donations.
This might be the first year ever that we don't have to run it through the weekend to hit a stretch goal.
Yes, but we are still shooting now for 500,000, but well beyond, with all proceeds going to New American Pathways. It is the one week a year where I don't feel like a huge piece of shit. So thank you. And also write a check. That's it. Thank you. And give us more money.
Have you decided upon this year's lie?
I have not decided on this year's lie, Ryan.
Do you want to tell everybody how you're working on last year's lie?
I am working on last year's lie, which is playing really golf in a pair of Junkos. I am.
Junkos.
We are.
We're not
sorry.
Doing this again. We are not fucking doing this again.
Oh, but Junko. No. Junko is art, a good nickname. No. Junko is art a good nickname. Rule.
Junko no. Niamatololo.
Retroactive ruling that part of the rule of Spencer playing golf in Junkos is that he cannot fucking pronounce them the way he's been pronouncing them.
And I think Junko Napier drops to 3-8 on the air.
Oh my God, a time traveler.
I think it's Jim Nantz golf voice for Junko Napier. Oh my.
Ooh, and a two-footer from Junko. Ooh.
Not Junko's ooh, yeah. best day.
It's not what clearing his cuffs.
What a privilege to be here watching Junko go 3-8.
Just that tree, but it's like got 6 inches of Gene's leg peeking out at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of puddles on
sexy.
The ground.
Yes. Yes.
So you're working on last year's lie. You haven't.
Yes, I am. I'm working on last year's lie.
Do you want me to tell him?
Well, don't do that yet because I've had a foul up with the guy. We're going to work it out.
What?
Fuck.
Not my problem. No, really, not my problem for once. Not my fault.
Now Orenthal.
I know.
Fucking guy.
We're going to work it out, and we will actually have.
Wait, the LaGrange guy?
Yes.
Oof.
He's. He was like, yeah, so I'll return the call. I'll give you my private number. Holly, this has been a remarkably unspectacular, a remarkably unsuccessful approach on the LaGrange. I have run into a me. So, yeah.
It's fun to watch it happen to you.
Thanks.
Link fight and Shadow Link is hard as shit. I get it, man. I get it.
It is. Thank you. I don't ask for sympathy, just your patience.
Oh, you're not getting it. So good.
Yeah, good. So, but yes, there will
be. To make
be
all this Eldritch commentary clear, Spencer is trying to put together a golf outing this summer to make up for last year's charity ball.
Yes. And
it's not going well.
But there will be an EDSBS golf
so
outing.
Join us in 2026 for the EDSBS 2023 charity ball golf class.
Ideally, very, very eventually, I would like to stage an actual. We're trying to put on this year as kind of a warm-up outing, but the eventual thing we would like to have is a bunch of our charity bowl donors come play golf with us someplace nice after the bowl, hopefully staged in concert with our buddies at No Laying Up. But it turns out that all that shit takes more than 6 weeks of planning, which is how long ago we got this idea.
Yes, so that lie is edging closer and closer to the truth. I will keep you all posted.
We still have not selected this year's stretch goal because we're not there yet. There's no need to, but I will say that I have ceded the mantle of being the one who gets to decide what that stretch goal is because one of you geniuses took it to our Reddit. And they already have like 17 ideas that are so much meaner than anything I could ever come up with. I don't know why we didn't think of that earlier. My favorite is making you go to a Dead concert. and an additional dead concert, for every other 100,000 that we raise. Wow. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, that's ass.
Yeah, that's why it's, yeah, it's supposed to hurt.
This is an act of revenge by them. There were already some of them quite unhappy about Spencer's criticisms of...
People got really upset. That's the most genuinely upset people I've ever seen about anything we've ever said on the
show. Had no idea we had Venn diagram overlap until Spencer.
I didn't know we had people that old.
Spencer, they're playing the Sphere. Dead and Company playing the Sphere in Las Vegas.
I'll go just to go to the Sphere. I don't want to go to the
I think you should go.
I thought you guys were chill, nice people.
No, you didn't.
No, man. Widespread Panic's full of Georgia fans. Oh,
so many dates in this summer, too. What would be nicer than to spend July 4th? July 4th.
I'll be out of the country. Can't do it.
Oh, shit.
That's fine. They have all of June and most of May and other
booked.
And several.
So booked.
No,
I'm
you got
so
nothing.
Booked.
You're fucking going
oh my
to
God.
This.
They got John Mayer now.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, but his songs have drums. I don't get it.
These don't, I guess. Mm. He gets to make a guitar face.
You know whose body is a wonderland? The Wolfman's.
That's right. How much hair can possibly fit on?
Damn, these tickets are not cheap.
Uh-oh.
You're gonna have a problem.
The punishment continues.
No. I have no possible frame of. I don't think I could guess within like hundreds of dollars what you're talking about. So can you give me a representative sample?
All right, I'm gonna look. This is Thursday, May 30th, 7:30 show
at the Sphere.
The cheapest at the Sphere. The cheapest get-in ticket I can find for you right now is $182. All the way in the back. If you want
to, but that's where I would want to be. I mean, how far away can I be
above the smell?
I want to be as far away from this as
you
possible.
You have a couple problems because you have the smell that rolls in a cloud above the floor, but then you have the smell that wafts.
Okay, I can get you in row 22 of section 406 for $182.
Can you get me further away than that?
No, I can't.
Is there a row 23?
Here's the thing about the Sphere. You find the middle of the center of it, and you draw a radius, and that's as far away as... This is how you use math in real life, kids. You draw a radius from the center of the Sphere, and that's as far away as you can get. The Sphere is very helpful in that.
This is what geometry class
was
for.
This is all it was for, is to keep you away from the Grateful Dead.
I would stay out all night at the roulette wheel. I would take the strongest edible available at a Las Vegas dispensary, get into row 22, have a psychotic episode, and fall asleep.
I think this is exactly what every dead fan in Vegas is doing.
Yeah, I think you're going to fit in really well.
I think you are canonically one of them.
I am increasingly convinced this
Jerry's
is going to be
Jerry's in you, brother.
Get out. It can't be good for you.
This is how you know it's a good stretch goal, because Spencer fucking hates it.
He's so upset. Let us remind you that once again, we gave you the option of simply buying beers for people at our live show, and you looked at us like we were fucking stupid.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
I was looking into a mirror.
Who's now fucking look at stupid
you.
Now?
You're going to have fun. You're going to have fun going to Dead & Co. at the Sphere by yourself.
Now who's at a fucking four-hour concert? Yeah,
that's the other rule, too. We're going to come with you, but we're not coming in.
Oh, we're just
monitoring the doors to make sure you stay in there.
Yeah, like we're taking a child to get on an airplane to do solo cross-country. Here's the tag we put on you.
Oh, God. Just write Thompson and Bill Walton on either side of me. Oh, no.
This is just the music of innocence.
That's Bill Walton be like, the grandeur, the majesty of John Mayer playing 423 pointless notes with that stupid face.
Spencer, you better not go back on the Reddit, buddy.
You're public enemy number one over there.
A 43 minute version of Dark Star played in front of
John Mayer. Reddit gonna tear your ass up.
Oh,
there's
dude,
28 angry deadheads and one Zionist who is furious that I made a joke about Bruce Pearl droning Arby's.
Oh boy,
it's not a good place right now.
was it the Blue Kentucky Arby's?
All right, folks, so raise money so Spencer can go see Dead & Company at the Sphere.
The flower children still dance.
The funniest way to do this would be to make it so that Spencer has to fly to Las Vegas and doesn't have enough time to do anything except go to the
So he has to go in completely sober.
Hey, what if you do it like the week school starts, so he has to leave immediately after and come back and do the school run?
I'm just trying to pack it all in. I'm running into a casino and putting 100 on black, then running back out so I don't miss the show.
This man's going to have to raw dog a Grateful Dead show.
Atlanta Public Schools calendar.
How many legal substances can I do in Las Vegas?
While on the plane, because we're going to have a driver pick you up at the airport, take you directly there.
Yes, hello, airport Antiennes. I need weed.
Turn around.
They could do it.
At McCarran, yes, they could.
No, they could totally do that at McCarran, yeah. Please, I'm not going to a dead show if I can't enjoy the one good thing about a dead concert, which is that I might be so high I won't remember it.
We sent Spencer to a dead concert with carrots and hummus, and that's it.
Okay, yeah. So
what was your favorite song? And I'll be like, oh, it was Uncle Bucket's Two-Steppery.
I think this is a good post. I went to a Grateful Dead show completely sober the entire time.
You went to Baseball High. Go to Dead Coast.
This is like
the spiritual opposite of your Colorado post.
Yeah, it's the total opposite of 2010's Vice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's
just going things totally square, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have anything else that we've missed about the Charity Bowl besides torturing me with sobriety and the Grateful Dead at the same time?
Yeah, my life is so hard.
Ryan is announcing that he's leaving, I think. That's it. That's his business. Serber, do you have any business?
Nah, you can always go listen to my music. My band name's called Killer Ants, and we have a Z in there.
Bruce!
And you can follow Hand in the Dirt at Hit D-Pod on all the socials.
Hey, do we...
Not
we
to mention, to... there's a thing.
That, yeah, do we...
The big announcement that's coming out soon.
Can we... Ooh. When is that? Or when do we get to talk about that?
I haven't been told we can talk about it yet.
Jason Kirk, do you have any ongoing business in your... crusade to take over every corner of the literary world?
Well, yes, in fact. Thank you for asking, Spencer. First, Wednesday, April 24th, that is 1 week after the release of this episode, at the University of Alabama, America's greatest university, as far as I'm concerned, 7 p.m. Central in the English Building, room 301, doing a free book signing, reading, Q&A, whatever, with Bama professors Mike Altman and Van Newell. I'll have books available for sale. And yeah, we're doing a hangout event afterward. So come see us on campus and then find out where that event is. How about that? And secondly, I'm going to clear up two misconceptions people have about the Bible. In case anyone doesn't know, I co-host a podcast with my wife, Emily, about biblical misconceptions. It's called Vacation Bible School. First misconception. So, you know how the internet likes to say biblically accurate angels are actually the wheelie eyeball beings from the memes? So it's true that those wheelie eyeball things appear in the sky in the book of Ezekiel, a really fucking weird book, but it's not true that those are the only angels that are biblically accurate. Even setting aside post-biblical lore by John Milton and Rabbi Maimonides, his first full cast mention, and whoever, the list of things in the Bible that qualify as angels includes everything from other stuff just as weird as the wheelie eyeball beings to things that look just like humans standing there. Basically, just a humanoid figure, which is kind of what the depiction of angels that the biblically accurate angel meme is a reaction against. Second misconception. You have heard that the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed is that God is homophobic. That has nothing to do with the story. Returning to the book of Ezekiel, we get a prophet turning to the camera and explaining that Sodom fell because Sodom was greedy and inhospitable. But you don't even need Ezekiel to explain it to you to get it. The story of Sodom explains itself very clearly. The story of Sodom, a story in which a mob intends to inflict violence on a group of newcomers, is immediately preceded by a story in which Abraham demonstrates his righteousness by welcoming a group of people. Who were those people who were welcomed by the righteous Abraham and shunned by the wicked Sodom? The story reveals they weren't just people, but in fact messengers from God. We've heard from right-wing Christian politicians that immigrants are bad people in one way or another. But the New Testament's Epistle to the Hebrews tells us, take care of immigrants as if immigrants are direct representatives of the divine. And according to Genesis chapter 18, the Abraham story, right before the Sodom story, immigrants are biblically accurate angels. Therefore, Those who donate to the Charity Bowl are on the side of not just human images of God, but also the wheely eyeball creatures Ezekiel saw when he was stoned out of his mind. How awesome does that sound? While those who do not donate to the Charity Bowl are sitting on the side and watching right next to Liberty University.